I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Ian from Nation of Language. And this band, he actually talks about how impactful lockdown was for, in regards for them sort of literally growing in reach of the band. And it was certainly something that was where I found them. Six Music was playing Fractured Mind, and it's just an incredible pop record. There's so much to like about this band. For me, as somebody that is, you know, obsessed with synth pop and kind of indie music, this band encompass it all. And needless to say, Ian chooses some fantastic records on here, and the conversation pinballs into other bands, and it's a really, really good chat. And yeah, I mean, for God's sake, I'm sitting here in my shed at the end of my garden in a grey, rainy day, and his backdrop was palm trees. It looked very beautiful stateside. Look, before we get on with it, a few thank yous. I want to thank Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. I want to thank the team at Blue Murder Club. That's a true crime podcast. It's a wonderful true crime podcast, and I recommend that you go and listen to it. And it's the team over there that produce the audio for this podcast. So big thanks to those over there. Also, if it's your first time listening, then hello. You're very, very late to this podcast party. We've done bloody loads of episodes, over 500 now. But all I'll say is, when you get to the end of today's chat with Ian, go and explore that back catalogue. Because if you like your synth pop, then who've I had on from the world of synth pop? Andy McCluskey from OMD. Fantastic chat. Belle and Sebastian get a mention. They're not one of his song choices. Had a wonderful chat with them on a previous episode. Who else have I had on? Heaven 17. And we discuss shoegaze as well, and I've, you know, had a great chat with Andy Bell of both Ride and previously Oasis and BDI, and then Ride previously to that, and we talk about America's love of shoegaze, and we reference Andy in that conversation as well. And I mean, if you like your big indie bands like the Killers and the Kooks and the Kaiser Chiefs, and that they've all been on, and yeah, through to your big rock royalties like the Foos and Motley Crue and stuff. So go get stuck in. Oh, synth pop! I had an aha on, and it's impossible not to sound like Alan Partridge when you do that. But yeah, had a great chat with aha, and they're all available. They're all available for free. So when you get to the end of today's episode, go and explore that back catalogue. And while you're over there, click subscribe, because I've got some amazing episodes coming your way soon, and I don't want you to miss any. So if you do that, they automatically just pop up on your listening device. How can you support the podcast? That's what I can hear you all screaming at me. Well, it's really easy, right? You can do it totally for free by just nudging your friend and going, Have you listened to this podcast? It's called Off the Beaten Track, and it's really good. It's this old guy with a lisp from Essex who gets overexcited talking about bands with lots of amazing creatives. So you can do that. As I just mentioned, you can subscribe. But what you can do is become a Patreon. Now, I say this every episode, and why not pause this and go and do this now? Because it's a dollar. It's 70p. And I've tried to give you two episodes a week for the last 4 years, I think. And the way that you can support the podcast and help cover the costs of the production of it and stuff is by signing up to the Patreon. And you can sign up for a month. It costs you 70p and then cancel. And then in that first month, you can absolutely rinse the back catalogue, because there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes, hundreds of radio shows. I recorded loads of radio shows. And also you can go and watch all the episodes over on Patreon. I put the videos up, so you can go and watch this one. You can go and watch my chat with National Language. And that's just part of what you get for your 70 pence or your $1. What the best part is once a month we do a live show. And it's on Zoom. And we pick a little subject. We're recording one tomorrow. And we're doing one where we'll discuss our favourite music videos. And I'd love you to come along. It's honestly, there's a lovely little crowd of people. And we've been doing, I think we've done about 10 now. And it's just a really nice hangout. It's a really non-judgy, lovely little kind of hangout. We're not trying to be cool with our song picks and that. It's lots of kind of nostalgia and little stories and reasons as to why people love these records and videos and such. It's a really nice little thing. You can join them, have your camera off or your mic off, and just sit there and watch and enjoy. Or it's also your opportunity to speak up and feature on an episode of the podcast. And like I say, it costs you $1 a month. So I'd really appreciate it if more of you would give that a look. And head over to Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. Won't cost you anything to go over there and have a look. You'll see a little video of me sitting there telling you all about it. And why not try it for a month? Just 70 pence. And that 70p really would help. It all goes in the pot to cover the costs of putting this together for you. You can find out about that. You can find out about everything else to do with the podcast at your one-stop shop, which is Off the Beat and trackpodcast.com. Right, I think that's all the begging and borrowing bit done, and we can get on to the good bit now. Please enjoy Off the Beat and Track podcast with the delightful Ian from Nation of Language.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Ian, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm like out on tour, and that's always a good place to be for me. I love being on the road, so I'm wonderful. Very happy.
Wonderful. Well, you literally, your backdrop is a palm tree, and you're in California, so I'm very jealous. It looks glorious.
It is chilly, but
okay. Right, let's jump into your playlist, and I'm going to ask you first to tell me, please, Ian, the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
That would be the extended dance mix of Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order, which is it's a very Nation of Language answer. it's just, honestly, it's a song that just stands out so much from my childhood. And for the longest time, it was the only version that I knew of the song. And I remember hearing the, like, I guess, real version and feeling so cheated that I didn't have this long drawn out thing. Cause, you know, it's just something about how much it's stretched out. It makes it that much more satisfying when the vocals do come in to me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And there's, on that version as well, there's the little bit around the time in the middle eight where it almost sounds like they've put like a vocoder on Bernard's voice. And,
yes,
and it's
yeah.
so good. And I can't agree with you more. I heard that version way before I heard the single edit. And it's like, when mm-hmm. you do hear that, you're like, man, they've like cropped all the good shit out of here. Like all the stuff at the beginning.
That's the song.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, so I grew up surrounded by, you know, some amazing electronic music. Obviously, you know, the likes of New Order and Depeche Mode and, you know, Erasure and the Pet Shop Boys and so many of these sort of UK electronic bands. Like, how did them bands sort of filter through to you in the States?
I think for me, it came through my parents. They just, like, they loved all of that stuff. And their music tastes were fairly eclectic, but, you know, like, as growing up, there was a lot of, like, sort of Clash and Ramones, like, early punk. And then there was also a lot of sort of, like, new wave and post-punk music going on as I was just, like, running around as a little kid. And so I think I kind of lost touch with a lot of that, the like sort of synthier music, like as I came into my like teenage years, and I was all in on like the sort of Ramones and Clash side of let's just like get guitars and be as aggressive as possible. And so then kind of the sort of part of what spawned this band was kind of rediscovering those sounds and wanting to, you know, as someone who had been writing a lot of songs, being like, I wonder if I could figure out a way to make some version of this myself, because I had never really tried anything like that before.
I'm interested to know that, I mean, you mentioned Ramones and the Clash, and then you know, to draw that back to Bizarre Love Triangle, and you love the fact that there's that elongated intro rather than the single edit. Bands like the Ramones and the Clash, like you say, it was, you know, 2.5 minute, you know, and that's a long song for the Ramones, you know, of right, just yeah. straight to it. So I want to take it back to you as a songwriter now, and in a world where, you know, there's software like, you know, and apps and social media platforms like TikTok and Spotify playlists and all of these things that are kind of become the new thing to market your music via, and lots of them kind of platforms for me definitely seem to lean towards younger people's shortening attention spans and rapid movement of thumbs. With all of that in mind, Ian, like, how do you approach making music and essentially the intro? Does any of them kind of trends in how music is put across now, does any of that filter through into your creative process?
No, I mean, the way that things are consumed now doesn't filter into the creative process for me. I will say that despite the fact that I love an intro, I am notorious for like, we'll get into the studio and I'll realize like all the songs start with my voice immediately. And so maybe I did internalize that sort of Ramonesy, like, let's get to the point sort of thing. Although I am notorious for also, it's like somehow I start singing immediately and the song is still like 5 to 6 minutes long.
How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just love an outro. That's what it is. I think I've come to embrace the sort of single edit as a means of keeping the sort of attention, because especially for radio, like, most radio stations don't want a song that's longer than 4 minutes. But if I'm like writing a song and I'm really feeling it and I'm like, I don't see how long it is, you know? But there will certainly be times where I finish a song and we're like, oh, like this radio station wants to play it, but it's, you know, 5 minutes long. And for me, it becomes, it used to be something where I was like, absolutely not, like the song is the song and, you know, that's the only way you're going to get it. And I've kind of changed over time in the sense that it becomes a kind of fun challenge to me, you know, because you see that, you know, New Order has long versions, they have short versions, different people have their favorites of those. To try and see how I can reshape my own song after it's done, especially because it's generally speaking, it's just for the radio and it's not even on streaming, is like a kind of a fun challenge to myself.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you for track two, please, Ian, to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
For this one, I said Redemption Song by Bob Marley. And I think it's just a lot of the songs that I remember from my very early childhood, one of them being Bizarre Love Triangle. Another was like Police and Thieves by The Clash. They did make me want to like dance and stuff, but I feel like Redemption Song was kind of the first song that had this melancholy to it that I wanted to hear when I was a kid, that would just sort of like bring me down, or was like good when I was sort of down. And yeah, I think it's like, it's one of those things that is, you can play it just as like a pleasant, slow song, or you can really feel the kind of weight of it. I mean, I've just always loved it.
If you had to pinpoint the emotion, what would it have been?
I mean, I think melancholy feels like the right sort of like top billing for that song. You know, it feels just kind of like wistful and sad, and it's like there's an age-old pain that is confronted instead of rejected, that I think is very, it's kind of extra heavy to me when you can like accept the burden of pain rather than try to fight it off all the time.
Yeah. It's so strange, isn't it, when you're young, that songs are just sounds and things that make you dance, and then you do get this moment, this first time you hear this, whatever song it is, that you realise there's levels to music, and you realise something cuts a little deeper. And that's a strange time to, it's a very strange, weird moment to kind of just have something just kind of grab you by the insides, you know, in a different way that than music ever had. I think that's something that, I think from that moment on, I don't think you ever get that kind of experience with music again for the rest of your life. I think it is just that first time that something weighs that much heavier. I don't know. Maybe when
especially when you don't have like the vocabulary to say why.
Absolutely.
And it's all just in here, and like pointing to my head, and in here in your chest, and it's like all you can do is experience it. You can't explain it.
You mentioned earlier some of the music that you was exposed to by your parents. Tell us a little bit about those times. Where did you grow up, and what other sort of music was you being exposed to at home?
I grew up in New Jersey, kind of like just outside New York City. Just a very like standard suburban town. And the music was, there was like, my parents are, you know, they have never wanted to be people that were sort of trapped in the past about music. So while I would get sort of 60s and 70s music, there was also, you know, I can remember when my dad showed me like In the Garage by Weezer, And that became like my favorite song. And he, you know, he was listening to like Smashing Pumpkins, and he was the one when I was in high school that was like, oh, you should check out like Belle and Sebastian and Interpol and Yola Tango.
Man, and that's a cool dad.
Which I mean, it's funny too, because it's not like you know, he's a very, I say this affectionately, like a very normal, regular dad. You wouldn't like point at him and be like, that guy thinks he's cool, you know. Yeah. I think I never really even appreciated that that was like an odd thing, because I think that's not, you know, I definitely had realized that my parents' friends were sort of like, there's been no good band since Led Zeppelin, sort of thing. Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, that's just not true. Yeah. So yeah, I think I was just very fortunate in that there was always new things coming at me, without even processing it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, that's so cool. Imagine that. I mean, it's making me feel old as well. The fact that when Interpol come out, I was a full on adult by that point. So now feeling quite old. But yeah, that's a cool dad. That's a very cool dad. I'm going to stay in the formative years for track three, and I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me about the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
For that, I went with Madame George by Van Morrison. And really, it's like all of Astral Weeks, but that song especially, there was just this, at the end of high school, there was this kind of odd... You know, I had my core group of friends through all of, you know, my middle school, high school years. But then at the very end of high school, there was sort of another, it was a group of like four of us that we just had this like two classes together. And we didn't really hang out before that year, like the last year of high school. And we never really hung out again after it, but there was this very brief period where we were just driving around the suburbs all the time in like the early summer, like right before school ended. And, you know, everyone was going to go their separate ways for university and everything. And we were listening to, it was basically just Astral Weeks and Ga 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 by Spoon.
Yeah.
Just sort of like back and forth, which is not a pairing that makes a ton of sense, I guess. But it was just like a very special time, and really kind of, yeah, I mean, I am definitely like nostalgic for that period, because it felt so, it was just like a strange side chapter to whatever was going on with the rest of my normal friend group and everything. But yeah, Madame George was probably the one that I would just hit repeat on the most. Yeah. I think because there is this sort of, yeah, like wistful sadness to it that felt appropriate for the circumstances.
Yeah.
Of like these new friendships that you'll never have this sort of close time together after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we're talking, you know, to go back to intros and just that opening line, the way that he sings down on Cypress Avenue, it just rips your heart from your chest. It's powerful shit, that. And just that record in its entire, I mean, you're talking to the right person here, and that's one of my the greatest records ever made. And I think that was recorded in like 3 days or something, that record.
I heard that,
it's just crazy, man. but yeah, that's summer music as well. That's like, that is one of my go-to. As soon as we don't get a lot of sunshine in the UK, but when we do, that record comes out. That Shame About Ray by Lemonheads, they're my two summer records.
Amazing.
So tell me about school. Was it something that you enjoyed? And I'll double up on that question as well. What did you want to be when you was at school as well?
I did enjoy school. I was fortunate in that I had like a good group of friends, and we were like, there were the group within that group that were like writing music together, and sort of, I think that really helped. You sort of didn't care what else was going on outside of that. And it just, it felt like a very creative and kind of wholesome time in life. And I've always said that like one of my dreams for being in a band is that, like, I think back to when I was in high school, and there would be bands that in retrospect, like, were not very big, but we would just be like, my group of friends would obsess over them, and they loomed so large for us, but in reality they like were not super popular. And I've always thought it would be so cool to be one of those bands. I mean, it would also be great to be super popular, but but to sort of mean a lot to people in their formative years, I think, is a very kind of magical thing that I would have always dreamed of.
But surely you must, you know, when you're playing live and you see people's reactions and how they're embracing and you know, living in that moment that you're delivering to them, surely you must experience something like that from that, surely.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely. I think and you know, especially because we sort of started to gain more fans during lockdowns and didn't get to see anyone, once we started playing live, I think that meant even that much more to me. And it's one of my favorite things is like when we're able to go and talk to people and hear, you know, their stories of how they found the music, what the music means to them. But I have found that a lot of the like younger people, either it's not their instinct or they're too nervous to kind of like share those things. Generally, it's more like confident adults. And so there is this wondering if you can see from the audience and you can feel that the songs mean something to them, which is, you know, a feeling that is kind of impossible to describe. You don't hear as much after the show from the very young.
So did you know, was music something you was always going to pursue from a young age?
Yeah, I guess I never considered that I could fully do it as a job. That was always sort of a dream of mine. But, you know, when I went off to university, my major was like music business, which I ended up not liking very much. And I dropped out after like 3 months to just like be in a band instead. And I think that that moment was when I realized, no, actually, like I want to do this, and I will, even if it is not my main source of income, you know, I'll happily deliver pizzas and make coffee and do whatever else I have to do in order to support this thing, because it just really feels so different. And nothing else kind of gives you that same feeling.
I found it really interesting how you framed it when you said, and then I dropped out to just be in a band. Like just being in a band's not enough, you know, and it's more than enough. But it's so interesting, isn't it? Our society kind of does look at the arts and things like, well, yeah, you can try that. You know, it's not a proper thing. You can try that. And it's not until, you know, I guess maybe the sort of financial realities of it sort of start to work, where like you can pay your bills and live as a musician. But it is strange, isn't it, that just as soon as you said that, I've been in that situation myself, you know, many, many years ago, where you just kind of quit to try something that you're passionate about. And it does feel like, well, yeah, I'm just going to just do this for a bit and see, you know, and it doesn't feel like, oh, I've got a new job and I'm going to pursue this. And it just feels, I don't know where, you know, if this is coming across right. Do you understand what I'm sort of saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so often it like the arts are kind of treated as a sideshow of life. When you're like, everyone consumes them as though it's not a sideshow. But then when confronted with someone that wants to make it, I think it is sort of, it becomes that to people. I think there are also people for whom it is happily a hobby on the side.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, to me, just as valid. But I think too often it's assumed that it should be that for everyone.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you for track four to tell me about the first record you remember buying from a record store, please.
The first record I can remember buying was Come With Me by Puff Daddy featuring Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
And it was because I had seen the Godzilla movie, and it was probably like maybe 2000. And that was the theme song. And I didn't even know at that point, I don't think I even knew Kashmir, which it's like sampling by Led Zeppelin. And I just thought, I was like, man, like this theme song is so sick. Like, and it was back in the day where it was like a CD single. So it was just two songs. It was like the regular version and then the radio edit. And I went down to my local Sam Goody, which is a CD store chain that used to exist in America and no longer does.
It existed for a very brief time in the UK as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty central to my early music life. You would just go and there would be all these posters of like Aerosmith and Tupac, and you just like browse through all these CDs and not know what like any of them were. But I remember showing my older cousin the song, and he was like, "That's Led Zeppelin." And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't even understand the concept of like sampling things.
Sure.
It said featuring Jimmy Page on the CD. And I was like, who the hell is Jimmy Page? And so he opened my eyes to classic rock in a lot of ways after that.
Fantastic. What's your relationship with the record store like now? In, like, you know, when you're on tour and you get to a new town and there's a record store there, will you go in? Is it something that still sort of excites you, the record store?
Oh, absolutely. I think my sort of relationship to them has only deepened in the sense that, you know, as well, Aiden and I will do like vinyl DJing sometimes. And so now there's almost like, when I go into a record store, there are sort of new angles through which I view everything. Because oftentimes when I'm thinking about listening at home, I'll sort of lean more towards kind of like ambient or sort of krautrock, like instrumental things that I can put on and, you know, just sort of let be the atmosphere.
Sure.
But then I'll also be looking through and I'll be like, all right, I need to find All Night Long by Lionel Richie, because that is when you drop the needle on that song, when you're DJing, everyone loses their minds. And so it's like, I feel like I cast a much broader net now. It's not just like, I need to get the new Beach House album. It's like the sort of uses or applications rather of various types of music sort of filter through my brain in new ways. And so, yeah, we're always trying to stop into record stores on the road. And it's definitely, and it's also, for me, it's just a place of great inspiration. Yeah. Where when you can look at like an artist's catalog and see like the sort of history of their career on the shelves, it makes me want to have a history to my career and like go home and make stuff myself and sort of try to develop as an artist. And so, yeah, record stores and bookstores as well in that sense are really big sources of inspiration for me.
Wonderful. Let's go clubbing. Tell me about the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
Ever Fallen in Love by the Buzzcocks would be the song that, you know, when I went to university in New York City, but then I dropped out and I was living back in New Jersey at home. But basically every weekend I would go back into New York and hang out with my friends. And there was like a DIY punk venue called Shea Stadium, named after the former stadium where the Mets used to play baseball that was like destroyed.
That's where the Beatles played the seminal show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a place that I would, where I played like a lot of music in my early 20s. And really was sort of my introduction to the New York music scene as an outsider. But there was just a lot of, like, Ever Fallen in Love was just a song that was like a staple of like between band playlists at the venue. And then, you know, even when we didn't go out, it was a song that was just, we're just like drinking beers in an apartment. Like, that's this kind of song we're putting on. And really kind of steered, I don't know, that's when I think back, it's like that and maybe like The Rat by The Walkmen would be another one that we're just like, I'm drinking with my buddies and we're having a great time. And there's just sort of this vibrancy and this like buzz to the evening that those songs, but especially the Buzzcocks, really.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Represent.
You chose two records there that have off the scale fucking energy. Like Buzzcocks. I mean, you know, we talk about the Ramones and you know, getting straight to the point. I mean, that track there, Pete Shelley's, you know, vocals, ridiculously good. And I know for a fact that the first time I saw the video to The Rat, I just remember, like, just watching the drummer, just thinking, holy fuck, how is this guy drumming this fast? It's the energy and, like, was ridiculous. And it turns out, kind of weird little story, my band way back, played a load of shows with a band called Jonathan Fire Eater that ended up being the Walkman, which was surreal.
Wow.
And it was like, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, that's that fucking band from years ago, man. That's so weird.
But
both of them records just absolutely thunder along. And yeah, perfect pop record, Ever Fallen in Love, I think is as close to perfect as it gets.
Yeah. And it's funny with The Rat, I remember seeing, you know, the Walkman, their like first performance back in a really long time was on like a late night show in the US. I can't remember which one, but afterwards I saw this text thread that had been screenshotted where they were like, oh, so like, are we going to meet up and practice before this thing? And they're like, nah, no, I don't think so. And the drummer is like, wait, are you guys serious? Like, I don't know if this is a good idea. But apparently they did not practice once before going and doing it on TV. And it's like flawless. But yeah, the drummer is just like working.
Unreal. Oh, that's so cool. That's immense levels of confidence, isn't it? Just going, nah, we'll be fine. I don't know, maybe it is confidence or maybe it's just we'll see what happens, who knows. Love that. I mean, talking confidence, like, you know, looking at performances that you've done, you know, you're a very enigmatic front man and you put so much into it. Like, you seem like a very quiet, humble guy as we're chatting now, but the person we see on stage, tell me, would you see yourself as a confident person?
I think I have grown into being a confident person from being a, well, I guess, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it has swung back and forth significantly throughout my life. I feel generally baseline more confident as I've gotten older now, but I think, you know, there was, especially through like the teenage years and early 20s, this kind of overconfidence mixed with deep self-consciousness, and which is a heady brew for a young guy. But I think just performing more and more kind of makes me feel calmer in my regular life.
Yeah.
And I think it's why I encourage anyone to like make music and try and perform music, because it really does sort of hit this part of your brain that you don't really often get in regular day-to-day life. And you can sort of see it at, like, if you go to like karaoke, when people are like having this moment, and I'm like, oh, like, I get that, you know, I'll go on the road for 3 months and I'll get that like most nights a week. But for a lot of people, they, especially like in a city when people don't really have a car, because you can like sing in your car, but when you're just in an apartment where everyone can hear through the walls and you're on the subway, like most people don't get an opportunity to just belt music.
Yeah.
And it really does something that I think is super valuable in terms of just making you feel good about yourself. And it's like a certain kind of endorphin rush that is difficult to replicate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take you home for this one. And I'd like you to tell me, please, Ian, for track 6, a favorite song from an artist from your home county.
County. I read it as country.
Ian, I've done 506 episodes of this podcast, and I reckon about 480 people said exactly what you've just said. So don't worry. you're very much part of the majority. You can go. It's up to you. If you want to think of county, I'm not going to put you on the spot. If you want to go with country, we can do that.
I guess I can... For country, I said A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, because I think it's just one of the most beautiful songs ever written. To the best of my knowledge, though, Sam Cooke he's not from New Jersey, or especially Union County, New Jersey.
Has he got the greatest voice of all time, Sam Cooke?
I believe it is likely. But I can say that Frank Sinatra is from quite close to where I grew up.
Frantically Googling. I'm loving this.
Yeah. I should just go with Bruce Springsteen, because he is also from very close to where I grew up.
You can't say New Jersey and not talk about the bus, right?
Yeah. It makes too much sense. And so... I think 10th Avenue Freeze Out by Bruce Springsteen is the song that I will go with. And I was sort of like, the Springsteen, like the biggest hits were sort of interspersed throughout my childhood, but it wasn't until kind of late teens, early 20s, that I was like, oh, let me actually like put on some records in their entirety and like take it all in as a group.
Yeah.
And I think Born to Run as a record is, it sort of stands apart in a lot of ways. And 10th Avenue Freeze Out is just the one that I definitely would hit repeat on the most. But, and I believe it's also, I have this like, internal list in my head of 8 song albums, because I've always dreamed of making an 8 song album where like there's so many that are just so good. It's like Changes by David Bowie, Born to Run, I think maybe Trans Europe Express. Yep, might be one.
What's Astral Weeks? Astral Weeks 8?
It might be. And I just realized that self-titled Slow Dive album that came out in like 2017, that's also 8 songs. There's so many where you're like, oh, like every song is just like a killer, and it's like track wise it's concise, but it still feels like a whole proper record. It's definitely up in this like pantheon of special albums that just kind of sit above the rest of the catalog in a way.
You mentioned Slow Dive there, and I'm always interested because I wouldn't say that Slow Dive experienced big commercial success in the UK, but it's so weird. I had a while ago, I had Andy Bell from Ride on the podcast, and he was saying when he was in Oasis, Like in the UK, everyone was like, it's Andy Bell from Oasis. But he said, when we got to the States and we'd be doing record signings, people would be coming in with their Ride records going, holy shit, it's Andy Bell from Ride. No, like not interested in Oasis. And obviously in the UK, Oasis is fucking huge. But yeah. I'm always interested with that kind of, and the same with My Bloody Valentine and America's kind of love of the shoegaze scene. Like, how does that sort of, you know, what's been your experience with it and how did you find it?
I mean, to me, it did always, it, like, it was kind of one of those bands where I was never sure how popular it was outside of the bubble of my friend group.
Yeah.
In which it was very popular.
Yeah.
I think it just, the genre in general kind of captures a sort of like bleary romanticism that I think really lends itself to like youth. And then I think is, you know, still just carried with me now, because it, even the new songs transport me back to this kind of magical time.
Yeah.
And we were actually just a few days ago, we were performing at a festival in Poland, and we're like doing the thing, and I look over and I can see that some of Slow Dive is watching the set.
No way.
I was like, oh my God. And then afterwards, Neil came over and was just like, we were just like shooting the shit, just like talking for a while. And I was like, oh, holy crap. Like, and then so at the end of the night, we like got a picture together and we sat on the side of the stage for their performance. And all of us were just like in awe. It's like so good. It's like it's interesting and really inspiring whenever, you know, I think they're thought of as these sort of like titans of the 90s, but then the fact that they can just come back in 2017 and put out this album where everyone's like, this is incredible. Like,
yeah.
It's so familiar and yet it is new. And I think they really have had a fascinating career you want to see where it goes. And now that, yeah, they're putting out new singles now, and it's a super exciting time to be a Slow Dive fan.
Love it. Love it. Last track, Ian, and this is where you get to be a tastemaker. Tell me a song, please, that you think many people may not know that you would like them to go and hear.
So on this one, my answer is sort of selfish because I get to talk about myself, which is one of my favorite pastimes. The song is Zum Herz, Zumherz, by the band Gorilla Toss. And it is on a, like when Noi put out their 50th anniversary box set, this song is on one of the bonus discs where they had various other bands remix Noi songs or contribute songs that were like directly inspired by Noi. And this was the submission by the band Gorilla Toss, who are like a sub pop band. And they were recording it like when we were in the studio recording one of our singles last year. They had been in the studio right before working on this song. And our producer was like we had never met before, but we both bands knew that we were fans of each other's bands. And so they had mentioned to the producer, like, oh, like, wouldn't it be like sort of sick if Ian sang some like backup vocals on this song, if he's coming in tomorrow. And so just like whenever we wrapped up what we were doing, I just like went to the vocal booth and like their songs, it's fun because it's like there is all a lot of sort of synth power in their music, but where we often tend towards minimalism, they definitely tend towards maximalism.
Yeah.
And so it was like there were so many harmonies that I recorded, like, for them to choose from that they had already done, but it was like, let's just fit more and more into this song and like make it as huge as possible by the end. It's just like a really terrific highway driving song. There's like so much energy to it. It's like all of their music is super interesting and sort of like trippy and strange and drippy in these weird ways.
Wonderful. Perfect, perfect chat. Well, look, while we're talking about your vocals, before we start to wrap things up, I should also say that we put together in a little Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast with all of the songs that you've spoken about today, so people can go and experience if they've not heard of any of the records that we've spoken about today, certainly that last track, which I hadn't heard until I got your list over, and it's an incredible record, man. And like you say, it thunders along. It's got such energy. With everything else in mind, what's going on with you and your band?
Oh, right now we're like in the midst of a sort of strange festival tour. Yesterday we were in Europe, actually. I was awake for like 23 hours, cause I'm not good at sleeping on planes, but, it was like two festivals in Germany and then one in Poland. And then we flew to San Francisco now where we are, to do a festival here. And then we'll fly up to Seattle to play a festival there, as well as like headlining shows in Vancouver and Portland. It's funny because we're sort of in this mode where throughout the summer we've like gone away for a little festival run, come back home, gone away for a little festival run, come back home. But it's all sort of leading up to this, starting in mid-September to basically the end of the year, like right before, I think it's like December, like, I think we'll get home from our last engagement, which I don't even think has been announced yet, like September, like 16th or something like that, December 16th. And we're basically not home for more than like 4 days at any time between September and December. So we're like sort of walking along the edge of this cliff that is like very exciting, because I guess counterintuitively, you just kind of want to jump in. It's a very like exciting period for us. And after this run that we're on, there will be maybe about a month of being at home. And so that's when we'll sort of be working on, building up the set with like even newer songs that at this point haven't been released yet. And seeing just various ways that we can tweak the set and make everything as exciting and different as possible, kind of like night to night.
Wonderful. And if people want to keep up to speed with everything that's happening with the band, where's the best place to do that?
I think Instagram is good for that, just at Nation of Language. Twitter's good for that, where our band name is too long, and so it's at Notion of Anguish. Or just our website has like all of our dates, and that's just nationoflanguage.com. I think those are the big three, or Facebook.
Lovely. If it's cool with you, then I'll tag you in it when this comes out, so if people haven't found you already, they can do so via
Thank
the
you
post
very much.
Of this podcast. Ian, it's been delightful talking to you today. You chose some absolutely incredible records, and I've been waiting for somebody to choose Bizarre Love Triangle for a long, long time, so it's finally happened. So thank you, mate. It's been really, really nice.
Yeah, it's been great chatting. Thank you.
I'm gonna press stop. Don't go anywhere.
Cool.
Oh, love that chat. What a top guy. And oh, I could have spoke for hours with him about bands. I mean, when someone casually just drops in Slow Dive or The Walkman, you know, and bands like that, then it for me, that just sparks all manner of conversations I want to have. But we had an hour, and I like to think that we maxed that hour with some delightful nattering. And I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that one. And if you've not gone and listened to the music of Nation Language, go and do so, because honestly, it's fantastic pop music. It's laced with really, really kind of cool indie undertones. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. If you're fans of this podcast, then I know that you've got a really good taste in music, not in podcasts, in music. And so I know that you'd love this. I wouldn't recommend it otherwise. And why not go and check out the back catalogue now, as well as I mentioned, if you like synth pop and electronic music, go get stuck into my chats with Heaven 17, with Aha, with OMD, with Darren Emerson, Hymn of Underworld, who else? Paul Oakenfold, Fatboy Slim. They make bleeps and tweaks and great noises, and I'm probably forgetting hundreds and hundreds of amazing artists that I should be shouting about right now, but they're all in the archives, so go and get stuck in. Everything else you need to know about that and the Patreon, like I said at the beginning, if you can support us, it's 70p, and come along to a live show. You'll love it. It's so much fun. And I'm going to sign off with the website address one more time, beatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. In the meantime, be nice to each other. Thanks again for listening. Love you. Bye-bye.